Whoa, back in it. We're here.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear. I thought I screwed that up. But anyway, hey.
Hey.
Let's really timestamp this episode.
This is an important one.
This is the one to, like, you know, really make clear when we're recording this and everything. Henry Kissinger's dead.
Okay.
Crazy, right? 100 years. Just war criming it up and finally gave up the ghost today. So, you know, that era is evil, is purged. No, I'm just joking. I don't know much about the guy. I just assume he made a bunch of weird calls in Vietnam, you know, like Agent Orange and whatever.
Yeah, I was not expecting this train of thought at all, so I am really blindsided.
Well, you know, Berserk, very war-focused manga, you know, like America's kind of Midland, and the Jotnar were the Vietnamese, but in this one, they won.
Still really blindsided, but yeah, I think I'm picking up what you're putting down at least.
I just saw this news right before we hit go, so it was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It is an important thing to bring up, though. This is the last officially translated release by Dark Horse in English that came out last year, at the exactly a year ago today. No. The 15th of November, 2022. So close.
Okay. So this is the freshest one thus far that we're looking at. Unlike episode 40 or whatever, issue 40, the Calgary Public Library did have this one, but they tricked me. They bamboozled me on this one. They put it backwards. They started at the end.
Oh.
And
interesting.
I started flipping the normal way I do, and it's just like, man, this is really confusing. Like, this is too bad, you know? Like, Mira, in his last days, I guess, just had this manuscript, and it was really garbled up. And then it's just like, wait a minute, no, I'm reading this backwards. This, like, it would be like,
I'd see the little
elf kid, and then I'd turn the page, and they're like, oh, where did he come from? It's like, what? You were just talking about him. You know, I was just like, oh, it's like that Seinfeld episode where it's backwards and they went to India. And it's like, no, wait, whoa. Okay, I got to scroll to the end of the book and then start reading. So.
Right. Like it was an actual, like, manga you were holding, which is ridiculous because they know it's digital.
In 40 plus issues that was, like, put out this way. So it was really weird.
That is, like, so weird.
And because it's the first one, like, you know, where Mira's passing and everything, I was like, oh, this is, like, a different issue. Like, they're doing something different where it's like, hey, dedicated to our good friend and everything. And, like, right up front, just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, wait, this was supposed to be, like, an impactful thing at the end of the volume. So I had a rough intro, 30 pages, had some stuff spoiled about some things kind of inadvertently.
That's kind of too bad.
It was really lame, because then reading it the right way, it's like, oh, that's what she meant. That's why she woke up startled, and that's when they saw each other, and oh, whatever. So
yeah,
I apologize for starting on that, but that's how my experience went. It was really broken.
That really sucks. Well, I mean, it's not terrible because, like, this thing is so dense. There's so much to actually talk about, but it is kind of shitty that, like, you got a little bit of spoilers happening.
Just
yourself.
Out of order storytelling, like, just really janky stuff. So that's on the library, I'm saying. And also me for not realizing it sooner. That's like, no, this didn't just suddenly get really terrible at telling stories. It's like, oh, okay, great. So the first note that is linear and correct is Griffith scores major points with his wife by backing her orphan bill. That is what I
heard. Yeah. So we kind of ended off last time with them coming back after fighting the giants or the trolls and the giants and stuff.
Yeah.
And this is all politicking now. Like, there is so much talking.
It's like, all right, we're dividing the spoils from the giants. And then, Charlotte kind of is like, oh, I had a bill I was hoping to put out there. It's like, wow, I don't know if we can really afford to look after orphans. I mean, that's not really our job. And then Griffith kind of steps forward and says, like, no, we should do it. We should do it. We should also give them lunches and educate them until age 8. And the council is like, what? That's crazy, man. They're going to revolt and stuff. Like, an educated masses, that's really not great. And it's like, no, I'm being crazy progressive right now, said Griffith, and waved his hand.
Well, his whole thing is that, like, if we make them, like, love living here, they'll fight for it. Like, we're basically building our forever army by making people love, like, their nation, which is really crazy to read in, like, some of the today's, like, climate going on or whatever, where it's just like, damn, that's really, really weird that they got it right in this fantasy world of monsters.
But I was also just kind of surprised, like, Foss or whatever, Minister Foss, is on this council, because I thought Griffith kind of hated him. But maybe it's like a keep your friends, enemies close or whatever, or something's going on.
Right.
I don't know. Just the super intense stare, like, before he did the sacrifice and everything, was directed at
from
Foss,
like 20 like, volumes ago. Yeah,
so long ago. But I was like, that's like the angriest I've ever seen Griffith look or whatever. So I thought he had it out for this guy. But I guess whatever, like, he's in God mode or whatever, so he's letting things sit nearby. So they kind of discuss this and try to allocate funds for this idea and everything. And there's this, like, veiled conversation, like, between Charlotte and Griffith, where, like, it's basically like, hey, do you want to go bone? But it's in this delicate way where it's just like, wait, so if I'm the mother of all orphans, are you the father? And then she blushes, and then Sonia's pissed, you know, classic triangle stuff.
I hate Sonia in this.
She's so jealous, dude. She's just always nearby frowning.
Isn't she like 10? Like, she's really young. Like, it's, I hate it so much. Griffith isn't interested
at all. Thank God. Giving her no signs whatsoever, but she's still there. I don't know where that's going, I guess, but it's a key part of her whole thing. So we'll find out.
So it's kind of interesting. This brought up kind of that we've had this conversation multiple times, so I kind of don't want to belabor it. But if Casca, now, like, we'll talk about her coming back or whatever, and Guts, and I'm guessing their whole band, when they kind of, like, explain what happens or what happened or whatever, are they the monsters now if they attack Griffith, who is, like, building a better economy and world for everybody to live in?
It's a little weird. It's a bit like Sins of the Past or something, or just like, no, you guys don't know. Like, this guy's like Al Bundy or whatever. Ted Bundy, the other one.
Yeah, Al Bundy is...
he's like the Married with Children
Married
guy.
With Children.
Like, oof,
oh, gee, Peg. Yeah.
Anyway, so he's a monster, but... He's really got this whole government thing figured out. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's
like Al Bundy.
Like Al Bundy. Yeah, he was on a council at some point, I imagine. Sure. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of that show.
Probably not.
He also was talking about, like, we shouldn't have ghettoization happening. Like, it's like, oh, there's all these refugees and, like, poor people in these parts of the city. They should be put in the army or something. Like, we need to help them out, too.
When they fight for their country or whatever, they will become citizens or whatever and have their own stuff. Like, it's all stuff that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's amazing that some parts of the world don't adopt that. But, you know, whatever.
I'm trying to read malicious intent in some of this or something, because it's Griffith, right? Like, I'm trying to be like, all right, what's the angle here? What's his evil scheme with this? You know,
there must be something, right? But, like his ambition was always ruling, and he's ruling, so, like, maybe not.
Part of it is plainly stated, though. Like, the goal is to conquer everything. Like, they're going to spread their empire far and wide and start expanding. So that's not great for, you know, the Jotnar or people like
that. Right,
them,
yeah,
yeah. But Midland is stoked. They're fine. But yeah, and they're kind of talking like, oh, we're probably like the last intact nation or whatever. Like, everything else is chaos out there. So it is our right to, like, our divine right or something to go and civilize everything. So, you know, that's kind of two-sided. That could be bad, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. I just have a free-floating note here. I forget who alludes to this, but it seems super key. It just naming Emperor Geyseric or whatever. It's just like,
yep.
Oh yeah, there was this guy, and then they show a picture of him, and you're like, oh, I know exactly who that is. But they're finally laying down some like Skull Knight lore, and teeing that up with this, and then we get way more of that later.
Yeah, but, it's kind. Yeah. This is kind of the volume that's like. I remember we talked about this. Where do you think this is just like cyclical? Where the exact same thing's going to happen, and like, yes, is the answer. This volume basically tells us that, like, yeah. There are direct similarities of who Guts and Griffith are in the past and how the civilization of man ended up with those people back then. But,
yeah,
like,
I'm still murky
obviously
on some of the details, but, yeah, similar. An eclipse has happened before many millennia ago and all of this, yeah. So, yeah. But, okay, hold on.
All right. Oh, yeah. So Charlotte and Griffith bone, and then he's like,
and then he has like, okay, a premonition or something. Like he kind of touches his hair and it's just like, oh, it's tonight, hey, or something. And it's like, what is he
yeah.
sensing? You know,
what's and that's the feeling? Last we see of him, I yeah. think.
Yeah, except for thing. One striking picture of him crying, which I saw right at the beginning when I was reading it. I was just like, oh, he's crying for uh-huh. Mira. That's tough, man. And it's like, no, what? This is part of the story. Oh. And so, I don't know. I think it's the last thing in the volume.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But okay, let me... Oh. Sorry. Cat.
Interruption. Got a bear there.
Yeah.
So, he leaves out the window, and we shoot back to Elf Island. That's... I can't remember. Elfheim, or whatever.
Yeah. Elfhelm, maybe? But yes.
Elfhelm. Yeah. Yeah. Casca cutting her hair to look more like actual Casca and not stupid Elaine Casca.
That's right.
So that was dope.
Danann or whatever is it cuts her hair, yep, personally, and is talking to her about like, all right, you didn't like the dress, you know, we'll get you something else. So she has this kind of elf warrior outfit that she's in, and she has,
yeah,
the sword,
true,
again and stuff. Puck also drops a pretty great dumb joke in here where he's just like, yeah, man, what a year. It feels like 20 years, you know? Like, he kind of makes a little meta joke about how much time.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that was a crazy 3 months whatever. But it's like, no, it's been 20 years in real life for us. You know, he kind of winks at you.
Yeah, like, for us here, it's been like a week, so that's fine.
Yeah.
That would have annoyed me if I was following this from the beginning. I would have been like, fuck you. Like... Fuck you,
no,
so
you,
much.
No, you know, Puck's like your buddy, man. He's breaking the fourth wall and saying like, hey, I see you, I know, but it's cool. So I liked it. I was, but you're right. I guess I haven't been sitting around for decades, so maybe it would be galling. So they wanna test out Casca's skills. Danann kind of brings forth these like Viking golem things she made. She's like, oh yeah, there was these dirtbags here, and I turned them into. I magic
like
them
test
into
dummies.
Golems. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. So it's actually kind of like creepy.
I know. It's like, oh, there's stuff with straw. Don't worry about it. It's like, I think those were people, but whatever. They're fine. They're you can slash them up or whatever. And then finally, like, someone else in the manga gets people going like, wow, look at how fast she is. She's so great. You know, from the sidelines. So they're watching Casca,
right,
spar or whatever. And it's like, wow, she's really great. So, you know, kind of nice. Kind of refreshing. Oh yeah, okay, so my out of order thing here, but this was kind of, so yeah, last volume there was the near meeting or whatever where she got all traumatized, and I guess that's where that went, like they didn't talk to,
yeah,
each other. So, like, probably Guts just went, oh no, and like left or whatever when that happened.
Right.
So there's a scene here where they're kind of talking on opposite sides of a tree, which is kind of nice, you know, like it's,
yes,
it's like kind of slow baby steps or whatever. But then, like, yeah, they're talking about Isidro or something, and they're just like, I can't believe you have an apprentice. That's so unlike you, but, you know, great. He's got some pretty cool skills. Two swords, you know, kind of reminds me of judo. And then she has this like trauma flashback where she sees,
yeah,
how he died and is just like, oh no, right, that thing. And then she collapses. And then there's a pretty sad beat, like great, you know, drama stuff where she like looks up and sees him and like screams, and you just see the hurt on his face. He grits his teeth and is just like, no, like it's rending his soul, you know?
Yeah. Great. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So she has kind of like the panic, the PTSD moment or whatever falls, like you said, and that forces Guts to like run out from behind the tree to like catch her and see if she's okay out of worry.
And that goes bad.
And she just sees like him like covered by and enshrouded by just like the worst fucking monsters and like eclipse demons and memories. Like,
yeah, it's really fucking weird. I almost wonder what some of the stuff that happens later with like blood echoes or whatever, like Hanar is talking about the armor and it kind of absorbing all this stuff. So I wonder if she's sort of tuned in and she's seeing like everything he's ever killed with it or something. Like something bad is emanating from that armor.
Oh, that reminds me. Remember a long time ago, I think it was his sword. They were saying it was like quenched in like the blood of like the damned or something. Like, and it was like giving off this shadow aura.
Yeah, it soaks up stuff too. Like it gains experience of the things it's killed or whatever, the blood that's it or whatever. So yeah, he, you know, his aura is really dark, I guess, and she can see it. So it's hard for her to go back to the before times or whatever when he was. I almost wonder, like, just with thinking through it, it's like, could he at least just like wear something else or something? Like,
take the armor off. Yeah.
Look less triggery, like look less exactly like he did during that and just kind of wear something else to tone it down. But they haven't figured this out. He just gets really like shaken and keeps retreating, avoiding this kind of situation. But he's being nice from the shadows or whatever. He's like, you know, happy that she's the, you know, engaging with all these other people and all of his companions and is having a good time. But, you know, it's his lone wolf tragic thing where he has to sit in the bushes and just go like, man, I'm too dark. It's like John Wayne in, you know, The Searchers, but way better because I don't like.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. John Wayne, the useless boomer John Wick for whatever reason. I don't know why people like that piece of shit. But
you know,
whatever.
if we have any extremely old listeners, like it's kind of like that. But you know,
sure, yeah. Manga. Yep. This whole part is like really depressing, though. The like
kinda,
PTS triggers and just kind of like seeing how it's affecting him is really, it's all heartbreaking. And obviously, like it is for her too. Like she wants to talk with him, and we kind of got
you get a little bit of that with the tree thing, but then it's too much, and she basically is taken to bed and is given some tea, and then she starts to freak out again, and like Danann just like puts her to sleep with a spell or something, just like all right, she's traumatized.
Sleepy time tea.
Yeah, they also outfit Farnese with like cherry blossom robes or something. Like she has like this really. Like vibrant mage garb, you know.
Yeah, they dress her up in mage garb because today is also their first day of official mage classes,
wizard school or whatever. Like, witch school. So that stuff's pretty light and fun. Like, there's just, you know, a bunch of witches kind of like being a little bit snipey at stuff. Just like, she's not even drawing a magic circle. Like, what a rube. And then she's still able to, like, do this really powerful spell. And they're just like, oh, wow, never mind. You're like, you know, Daisy Ridley or whatever in Star Wars. Like, you just have all of this stuff down, you know.
That part's so good where it's just like, okay, like, let's see what you know or whatever. You're obviously students. So, like, let's see what level you're at. She's just like, okay, well, I kind of only know, like, a couple things. And like you said, they're like, she's not even putting down the magic circle. What the hell is she doing or whatever? And then she just like explodes into this like light of like energy in the four, like, the four corners or whatever. It's just like, what the fuck?
I didn't learn that for 3 years. Like what? And she's an adult. Oh my God. So yeah, all these witches are blown away by their abilities. And like Shirka gets to show off a bit too with like summoning a dark spirit from a tree.
From the tree.
It's just like, oh, hold on, guys, there's an entity here, let me see if I can summon it. And they're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, no, there's totally a thing here. And then like, I guess her deal with it is it can eat
an apple
that a student has, but he doesn't know
it can come out and play and have an apple because it's been like just look watching from the shadow, literally the shadows for like eternity or whatever. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you can come out, play a little bit, say hi, have an apple.
And
what's
this
deal?
It's almost like a eco or something, like this cloud of shadow just like overcomes the student. He's like, oh, and then it's just like, no, it's just eating your lunch. Like, it's whatever. That was the deal. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't tell you. But yeah, they're just blown away by all of this, which was kind of fun to see. Like, just like, oh, I know forest magic or something. So it's just a little weirder. And then there's a lot of just like, oh, they've had to use this in combat and stuff. So they don't have time for circles and runes and stuff like that. They got to shoot from the hip, as it were. So,
yeah, I think the magister or whatever, the like professor dude, the old guy that
the guru
runs the
guy,
classes,
yeah.
The guru, he was even saying something about like how it's always exciting getting people from like the real world here because like they get grown too accustomed to peace is like what he says, like here learning magic there, so they don't like usually see pulling a dark energy shadow out of a tree or like doing like this giant defensive spells, because why would they ever?
Sure. Yeah, sort of like, you know, martial arts but never having to use it versus someone who's like street brawling all the time. So like Sonny Chiba is here to show you what's real, and it's you know, it's great. But okay,
this is kind of the Guts moment of, you know, how I kept saying and we kept talking about how every time Guts is doing something, everybody has to be like, oh my God, Guts is amazing. Look how fast he is. And just like, whatever. Yeah. This is kind of the moment where they're like, no, these mages are incredible because they don't have to like do a ritual. They don't have to meditate or prepare. They can just like summon magic immediately or whatever. And you're just like, oh, apparently what they're doing is crazy, actually. And that's awesome.
Yeah. There's some stuff they don't know, though, like flying a broom. It's super basic, but they never learn that. Yeah. So Morda, is that her name? Like the kind
of
roguish dark witch or whatever.
Puckish cool rogue. Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's skipping school. She doesn't care. She's up in a tree or something. But then
she has her blouse
this,
undone.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You know, she's older than the others. But she swoops in and kind of, they're trying to just coax Shirka into like the correct carefree mindset or whatever, where you can start flying. And she opts for the, you know, I'm just going to put you on this bike and let go kind of training, where she swoops in behind her on her broom and like airlifts her up. And it's like, no, it's better to just learn in the sky. So Shirka's freaking out because she's never done that ever. But it's like, no, you know, you've flown in your Illuminous body or whatever. It's like that, but like better, because you can feel
apparently
the
it's the
stuff.
Same.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. It's essentially the same like feel you probably have to get used to.
Mm-hmm. But sure, that feels like a dream, whereas this is real. So, yeah. So they're kind of buddying it up and stuff. But Morda has her own kind of agenda here, because she saw Skull Knight and Guts and Gedfring wandering off, right? So she's just like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to get Shirka and we're going to tail them and see what goes on.
Well, Skull Knight and Guts meet up kind of while this is happening on a ledge, while Guts is just swinging his sword, because that's all he really does.
He kind of talks about it, too. It's just like, I don't know what else to do here. Like, I'm just going to practice, I guess. I don't know. This place is boring. But everybody else is having a great time, so he's willing to just try to content himself somewhere.
When Gedfring comes up. Yeah, so there's a whole conversation about how they should go talk to the old spirit or whatever that made the armor. And Skull Knight's like, yeah, I need to get mine fixed up anyway. So, like, let's go hang out with him.
Let's go see
the dwarf.
Yeah, Hanar.
Yeah. Hanar, yeah.
And upon meeting him, Hanar is like, oh, yeah, these guys. It's like, did he meet Guts before? I don't remember, you know, unless he's talking about the armor. But
that's what I read it as, because I don't think he met him before.
Yeah, it's I can't recall. I mean, there's also a moment where Guts just kind of thinks of the old blacksmith he knew, and then it was like, oh, did he see his
Godo or whatever?
Yeah, there was like a moment where Hanar's like, oh, I haven't seen that face in a long time. It's like, is he talking about the face that Guts thought of, or Geyserick or whatever, or Gedfring or something? Like, is it more banal than what I'm saying? you know.
Oh, no, because he turns to Skull Knight and says, well, there's a familiar face, King. Like, face. He's greeting yeah. him.
Skull. Yeah. But yes.
Skull. Yeah.
Right, and you're right. He also lets slip, like, Your Majesty, just so you definitely connect him to the Emperor they talked about earlier. And it's just like, right. No.
Which we all did, anyway. Yeah, but now, like, there's an in-universe thing like, that, no, like, oh, somebody knows.
Yes. Yeah. and then they kind of awaken the Berserker armor. Like, he hits it with his hammer, and then it just triggers and wakes up and starts consuming Guts and transferring memories to him and stuff. Like, it's a pretty crazy, like, firsthand experience of something Skull Knight went through, I guess, like, millennia ago.
That's right. That's what it is. So, yeah, he chains him up or something, and then, like you said, whacks it with, like, his hammer, and it activates the Berserker armor and transfers an old blood memory, I think he calls it.
Okay, yeah.
Into him or something like that.
Yeah, it's this first-person memory of him carrying this maiden or whatever with a brand on her. And then later, I didn't place that at all. It was just like, okay, that's, you know, I guess somebody important to Guy's Rick or whatever, maybe someone he sacrificed or his wife or something. And it's like, oh, no, that might be Danann or, like,
it is,
in some form. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because later they're just like, oh, it's a striking image of that person. And it's like, oh, I guess so. Sorry. I just was like, yeah, long-haired lady. But sure, I'll take
it. The fun thing about this memory eclipse is that it is, I think his name is Void from the God Hand, and four completely different God Hand that we've never seen before.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was suddenly God Hand, and there's just this bizarre-looking creature. It's like, oh, I guess he's been here this whole time, but there's been a rotating cast since this
One of them
happened.
Is literally just a rib cage with an inverted mouth. Like, what the fuck?
it's like the Hellraiser thing. It's just a different gang what are they called again?
Cenobites.
Cenobites, yeah, that's right.
Cenobites, yeah.
Just in three, there's like the CD head and stuff. Like, that's new, you know.
Yeah.
And if they made another one, there'd be some sort of Zune or something, probably, or like a game.
They had a female one. I think they made like another female pinhead sort of thing.
Yeah. There's been a whole host of other ones that I've only seen the first three movies and the remake.
Oh,
so
have you seen the one that came out like last year? It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
Particularly when they get into like the house, and then it's like, okay, this is just a haunted house now. That's fine.
Sure. But that, you know, I was game for that. But okay. Anyway, enough about Cenobites. Yeah, they're like, What did you call him again? Void? He's just the constant, I guess. He's like the founding member.
He's the vampire lord looking guy with the giant cape and the big brain.
Big brain. Like, he kind of looks like a Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks. Yes. That's exactly what he looks like. Yeah.
A little bit. So yeah, you're right. You do get that glimpse in all this as well. And then I think you're right. Shirka and Morda, like, they come upon this scene or kind of like, what are you doing to him? You're torturing him or something. And then Shirka kind of spirit body takes the helmet off. And then he's kind of able to shake it off a little bit and just be like, oh, thanks. That was getting bad. So
how did you read that memory? Because my thing is that he was the sacrifice that saved her. Because I think she was dying.
Well, she had the brand on her. So I'm kind of like, is it literally like that's his Casca essentially, and she has to stay on this island now to not succumb to dark forces or something? So she's just the elf leader now.
It could be, but then the next scene is also the brand is on fire, like on the ground behind her.
Oh, or like, so there's a way to purge it, maybe.
Maybe. So I mean, there always needs to be a sacrifice. So yeah. I thought he was maybe his own sacrifice.
I was like, with no stated anything, like my initial, like, just coming upon it was like, oh, I guess he sacrificed her and then decided he screwed up and has spent the rest of his time trying to undo that mistake or something. But I don't know.
I read it the other way where he was trying to save her
from someone else's sacrifice, I guess. Like, his
or yeah, whatever.
Enemy. I guess I don't know who's. antagonist hit, like, you know, is it Zod or something? Like, who was he sparring with all that time ago? Like, who's his opposite number?
You know? He was the one that, like, threw everything away, right? Like, he was the one who kind of made the deal. And then maybe he obviously didn't sacrifice her, which is probably why he's, like, stuck in the form he is for eternity.
Like, it's now. Like, oh, wait, I can't do that. And then is fighting against it through, but, you know, still constantly talking about, like, causality and how it all comes back on you and everything. So he's...
Like, way too much. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still all kind of fixated on consequences or whatever. And Guts keeps kind of making jokes with him or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy, this bad luck skeleton that keeps showing up, giving me bad advice. Yeah. Like,
I do like what he said. He said, what you bore witness to was the end of a foolish king and the beginning of a dead man stalking the endless night. It's like, that's sick. That's so cool.
He calls himself a wraith or something, too. But yes. Yeah. I still don't have the full Geyseric story, but this is a big piece and definitely of note, I guess, 41 volumes in to get that.
Well, even Guts says, like, is he the same as me, or like, am I the same as him or whatever?
I think Gedfring, like, kind of talks about, because he asks a stupid question, I guess, is what it is. It's just like, wait, how old is he? It's just like, oh, time doesn't matter to him in the same way. It's meaningless. It's meaningless to him. But I think he... like, you remind him of himself or something at that point or whatever. Like,
right.
They plainly say that's why he's interested in him or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, both of their armors are crafted by the same guy. So there's, you know, pretty direct connections between their paths or whatever. I still don't know what Skull Knight was initially warring against, or if is like Griffith a reincarnation of some ancient evil or something, or is it just the God Hand? Like, he was opposing the will of the God Hand this whole time, you know? But
I am a bit confused if that's Danann or not, because you're right, they say there she's a spinning image.
Oh, it really looks like her. And it's like, okay, yeah. And like, I was like, does she have a brand on her shoulder? Like, I was kind of trying to look at Danann, but she's always wearing something, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, what I remembered is in that scene, he goes to, like, an egg that's in kind of, like, under the tree and starts caressing it, and then they say something about, like, he says, I think Guts says, like, what is this place? He's like, a mausoleum where his majesty's, beloved sleeps or something.
Yeah, they say that right before Danann shows up, and it's just like,
right,
oh, is she like a daughter of theirs then or something? Like, is it different? Like, that was her mother, you know?
So that's why I'm a little bit confused.
Right, you're right, because they say, like, oh, this spirit tree houses his deceased beloved or whatever, and who knows how long ago that happened.
So
there's probably a more distant connection to Danann than just it is her. It's just her. It's like, oh, that's weird. So yeah.
She looks a little bit like Griffith too, I noticed, in the facial structure. So, but that's sure. Like, I obviously don't think that's necessarily a thing.
Yeah.
Unless, like, Griffith is like their kid or something.
I mean, with familial connection stuff, like the elf boy shows up again. There's like odd, like, commonalities between all three of them. Like, it kind of makes me wonder what's the deal. Like, is it this was Guts and Casca's kid but was corrupted by Griffith, so it has some print of that, you know? Or I really don't understand this elf kid, because it's like we saw that fetus thing go inside the weird egg man and become the hawk or whatever, right? So who is this? Like, is this like a twin or something, or some spirit child? Like, it only shows up during full moons, I guess eclipse, you know, moons. I don't know, like, if there's some connection to it was created then or something. But Casca remembers it from their adventures, and they're kind of pointing. It's like, hey, like, this kid gets on great with her, like, go upstairs and hang out or whatever. So that's nice, but it's also just this weird puzzle still. I don't really know what's the deal with this kid, because he doesn't talk. He never says anything.
Yeah.
He's just a cryptic, weird little person. So.
What's kind of interesting is they bring up again that, remember, time is weird here. So, like, even though the Moonlight Kid only appears during Moonlight. Moonlight here could be a week. Like, so you're going to have a lot of time with him
right,
to hang
yeah,
out.
Because it's like,
want.
Wait, it's like, the morning and he's still here. How did that, how's that happen? It's like, oh, yeah, time is weird. So
yeah,
you might get a couple days. Isn't that great? And it's like, yeah.
The first excuse that they can use that time thing with.
Yeah. We also get kind of Morda and Shirka buddying around, and they meet up with her mistress or whatever, like Morda's dark witch.
Her, like, mentor or something. Yeah. Like an actual hag witch that you would think about. Like,
I kind of love
boil,
this
boil, toil and trouble type of.
I mean, it's super Dark Souls-y stuff of just like, oh, if you bring, like, this tome to this witch, they'll be like, get out of my face with that. That is dark, evil. Go away.
Yeah.
And then you have to talk to the cool witch, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'll teach you some necromancy, like, whatever. Like, this is just like, okay, Volvalba is over here, like, outcast in the forest, but Morda thinks she's cool, so she's out there learning, like, real stuff.
Yeah.
I don't... And, I like, yeah, Shirka even says, like, you're kind of roguish, aren't you? You're kind of a rogue. And it's just like, yeah. And then I think she starts comparing her to Isidro, though, and then she gets insulted. She's like, not
yeah.
a brat like that. No, shut up. Whatever.
Yeah.
I got my own cool vibe going on. She also uses the word vibe a couple times. It's like, oh, some spirits don't vibe with that or something. I was like, this is weird. Like, this is like 2021 translating or something.
Yeah.
But
it might
okay.
be different writing too, just in general. Like
yeah.
because
yeah.
of the changing of hands. Also another thing, speaking on that, we find out that Shirke's mistress or whatever, her mentor Flora
yeah.
was also banished from the island for some taboo reason that we never learn about here.
They sort of like dance around, but it seems like maybe had some sort of romantic relationship or something. I was getting like, you know, Jedi vibes
yeah.
or whatever from all that. Perhaps with Skull Knight or Geyseric many, many aeons ago.
Yeah,
I
it
think,
could be.
I think they also say she's a daemon. Like, she's like, oh, this powerful sorceress or something, you know?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think Gedfring is talking about that. Like, or is it Danann?
No,
someone's saying, like...
it's Gedfring, yeah.
Well, Danann also has a sentence where... right. Shirka has... this was really confusing reading it backwards, but seeing it the correct way, it was like, oh, I see. Shirka, like, when she sees the elf boy again, she's like... oh, okay. It's like some sort of emissary of Danann or whatever. Like this is some form of hers. And then
right,
Danann
yeah.
walks in and she's like, "What?
Yeah.
How are you both here?" And then she's like, "Oh, what? Like I don't know who this is. It's like, what are you talking about?" And then everyone's like, "Ha ha, Shirka was
that's
wrong
a great
about
gig.
Something. She thought she knew, she didn't." So
yeah.
It yeah, she gets magic like lore wrong or whatever, and it's a big embarrassing moment. But it was fun.
It's a great gag. It's really, yeah. really good.
Yeah. And then, right, in that she says, like, oh, no, I knew of your arrival, but it wasn't this kid that told me. It was like, Flora in the dream world or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
So
right.
that's how that works. And, okay. Then we get this, back to the witch school, and Isidro is terrorizing everybody. And has
yeah, he's
weird...
playing like boy pranks on the girls. Essentially, is what is what's happening.
Yeah, he's grabbing pumpkin sacks and like tying them on their heads, or something.
No, no. Oh, you read this completely wrong. Let me tell you what's going on. He's
right.
taking the bottom of their robes
oh.
and throwing them above their head and tying it, so they're running around in their like bloomers or whatever.
Okay, so he's all right. Dress like he's tying their own dresses above their heads as like a prank,
essentially. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's trying to get Shirka with this. He's like, I'm gonna get you back. You guys were so mean to me when I first showed up, or whatever. And he's just
yeah.
like cackling and making the weirdest faces. And
he's shooting
this,
elves,
yeah.
At them.
He's also teamed up with all of Puck's brothers or whatever. And yep. at some point, they just lean hard into the Star Wars jokes. And, like,
yes.
several times, like, Puck has turned into a Yoda-type-looking character and says things backwards and whatever. But now it's, like, all of his brothers have, like helmets on or whatever. Like they
they're
look storm like
stormtroopers, essentially. Yeah.
And then one of them is wearing a Jar Jar hat, and that Jar Jar one shows up, like, five times. and is talking to a Kelpie and stuff while wearing a Jar Jar hat. It's super one of them corny is, and silly.
One of them is Darth Sidious as well, the Emperor. Like,
oh, yeah. There, I think, is that... Oh, yeah, that wasn't Puck doing that. That was one of his brothers,
it's just
guess.
One of them. Yeah, no, they're like, all Star Wars the fans.
Like, they're just quoting stuff from the movies. Very, very silly sequence happens here with Isidro sparring with all these witches. And then
there is a scene where he's just looking at Morta's boobs the whole time.
It's, right. When she walks in, it's just like, man, this guy is hilarious. This kid's great. And then he's just like, really? He's really like, yeah. And
they make sure you know by drawing the line from his eyes.
This is what he's looking at. This is it's like, all right, yeah. How do they best him? Because Shirka does
it. Was at that moment. Shirka's like, okay, now's our chance. He's distracted.
All right. Well, yeah.
But he's bested because, oh my God, what's her name? The mermaid girl has a Kelpie. Tamed a Kelpie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they're like, what? They're so dangerous. It's like, I don't know. I think we're friends. And you're right. A Kelpie just kind of walks in behind him and like slurps him up with his
just Yoshi's tongue. Him. Just eats him. Yeah. Wow.
And
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good stuff.
It's great. Yeah. Really, really fun.
For a moment, I wasn't sure if it's like, is like some spirit of evil possessing him or something? Like he's being, like they're writing his dialogue in strange font and stuff.
No, like, a spirit of evil definitely possessed him, being an 8-year-old boy. Like,
I guess, sure.
He was definitely possessed.
No, he's just being so silly for several pages here. And then, he gets slurped. And then I think Puck also gets slurped and says, oh, no, I've been slurped. That's by the elf boy. He's, like, sucking on his head. And he makes a dumb joke about it. It's like, this is strange and familiar or something. It's like, what?
There's a lot of the elf boy hanging around with, like, the crew and the school just kind of, like, participating in there's a scene of him like walking around with the golems. He's fishing with Isidro and Yzma.
Yeah, pulling mushrooms up that have faces.
He's just
on
hanging
them.
Out. Yeah, this is like the montage moment.
Yeah, and then he Guts. I don't even think Guts knows he's there at this point. He's just kind of sitting off by himself, and then suddenly the elf boy kind of pops up in his armor, and they have a little joke about like, oh, you're a knight, huh? And then he falls over. Cute elf kid stuff. And that's when he brings him back to the house and says like, hey, go upstairs and surprise Casca or whatever. So that moment happens for her. And somebody gets really mad. The fairy, like Shirka's fairy, gets mad at Morta for turning Shirka into a hot rodder with her turbo brooms and everything.
Oh.
Or whatever. There's like, helicopter parent thing going on.
Yeah.
You're corrupting my buddy. And it's like, Isidro's Revenge, Jar Jar. Those are my last notes. So and then we get the kind of shot of Griffith crying as like a...
Yeah, so Casca wakes up, looks in the bed.
Yeah, her nightmare.
The child is gone. Looks out the window. Guts is standing there looking at something. The child is also looking in the same direction in front of him. And we kind of get like a final panel of what they're looking at. And it's Griffith's like hair. And then the like final page is what you were saying, where he's crying and saying something like, this will disappear this will disappear like a morning dew or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's kind of like the final note.
Yeah. There's also the kind of tying the elf kid to the fetus thing. Like, that's the dream that wakes her up or whatever. Like, she's kind of like, oh, no, I've put the pieces together or whatever. And she's really jarred by that. But I still don't really understand who he is or what his deal is. But I guess we're closer. Maybe it's just me. I have to look at the pieces again and think about it more. But whatever.
There was a lot going on in this volume.
Yeah.
A lot.
For also a trim volume, like it's 170 pages, but there's a lot of talking and a lot of big stuff. So, yeah.
It kind of reeks to me of Mira is dying/dead. We need to start preparing for the end of everything. We need exposition dumps a little bit to come a little bit more.
Yeah, we need to get some steps ahead in the storytelling a bit. Yeah, it was a bit crammed, but I still appreciated.
I loved it. A lot of that. I thought this was a great one, honestly.
And then the first thing I read when I read it initially was like this note by the translation team and everybody like acknowledging Mira's passing, and then kind of the dates of his life and everything. Which is really heavy. First page. I'm just like, oh geez, yeah, okay, this is pretty important. And it's like supposed to be at the end. So yeah.
Yeah.
Just wonky experience. So if you're a Calgary Public Library person, just know with volume 41 you gotta scroll all the way to the end and then go backwards.
That's the type of thing that, like, I know it's kind of silly because of how like niche that is, but honestly, if I was listening to like a podcast about Berserk and I was in Calgary, that's something I would really love to know. But also I wouldn't be listening to this episode until after I had experienced it.
Yeah,
so.
Super, super niche thing. It was more just like, if I could listen to this and know, I wouldn't ruin it for myself.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just one of those dumb things. This has happened to me a couple times with like movies or something where I'll put in disc side two instead of one. Just be like, oh, art house cinema, huh? Really weird. And it's like, no, you should have seen like an hour of stuff before you got to this.
I remember one of the gags. I feel kind of bad about it now, but it's still a little funny. One of the gags we used to do is take movies where like an important climatic thing would happen, like a spoiler thing. And VHS tapes, for kids who don't know, used to be like an actual physical reel of film, essentially, in a small cassette that you put into a VCR, and it would play it or whatever. But you would have to rewind them is the thing. Like, it was physical media. But we would rent something like the one that always comes to mind is End of Days. There's a moment where Arnold decides to do something very drastic to, like, beat the, like, end the demon thing, the devil.
All right, and so you just queue up the spoiler.
We would queue up the like second that he does the thing.
So if someone pops in the tape not looking at it, and they're just like, "What? Oh, I gotta rewind it." But then they know the thing. So
yeah,
the
exactly.
Movie is rude.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty dastardly, but okay.
But then, like, it was kind of. Like, it never really amounted to anything, because every time I went into a Blockbuster, I saw just, like, some poor bastard hating his life, just, like, smacking the tapes down into that, like, automatic rewinder thing and then throwing it back on the cart.
Right. So you weren't kind and didn't rewind, is the thing.
I was, no.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. Not only was I not kind and didn't rewind, I actively tried
Which
to sabotage people.
Yeah. Up stuff.
Yeah. Not my proudest moment, but, you know, some people throw rocks off of overpasses and, like, potentially kill people. I just ruined somebody's,
sure, this
like,
is, this
night.
This is much lighter than that, yeah.
Yeah. It's a little lighter, yeah.
But okay.
So, yes, this last chapter was the last thing, I guess, Mira ever penned.
Oh, yeah. So, the note said that, like, this is the last stuff he inked himself.
All of it. Yeah, so. Like this whole volume. So in the next volume, 42, which is out in Japan, not officially collected and out here, but like the chapters are available or whatever, that is all not Mira-led at all anymore.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I mean, this note also kind of says like, hey, we have the burden of responsibility, like we know, you know, so
yeah.
I have hopes, I guess, but... I mean, what's out there now isn't Dark Horse or anything either, so we'll
right.
see. But yeah, Berserk, man. So if this is the end, if this is all there was, would it be a good ending? there's at least some conversation by some of the companions of just like, what a nice island, what a great place to be, you know. So they're at least in a
sure.
a positive space or whatever. But there's definitely things left undone. And the biggest loose threads of all time.
It ends on the biggest cliffhanger we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
But, well, that Casca coming back was a pretty big fucking cliffhanger. The last three volumes have had incredibly big cliffhangers.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It the whole situation kind of blows, because I would ideally, like the pacing just seems like, you know, really gradual, and a lot of things happen, and the journey is important. But now it does seem like this might just be like, we got to tie this off, you know, we got to just clash them. They got to clash. We got to get that clash going. You know, you could urge tree your way to Falconia tomorrow and just do it, I guess, you know.
Do you think they're going to fight? Okay, this is prediction time, I guess.
Yeah.
We haven't officially stated that we're going to do the next volume.
At some
worth.
Point, we're going to have to, in some form. So, you know.
But I'm going to read it for sure because I need to know. I'm not waiting a year. But predictions, because we should get this out before we read it at all.
Yeah.
Do you think a fight happens? It would seem weird to me with kind of how these characters have grown that they would even care at this point about something like that. Like, I could see Guts, especially because he's kind
Guts
of
still
influenced by the thing.
Yeah, and they talk a bit about Geyseric, like the things motivating him or like endless hate and all this stuff. So there might be a kind of like, is that a cautionary tale? Is that something Guts isn't supposed to do or succumb to? Like, is him winning being able to walk away or something, you know, finally? But I don't know. That doesn't seem like how this would go, right?
It weirdly seems out of character, in my opinion, now, just because it seems like Guts is very much focused on the Casca thing. Actually, if anything, that might be the thing that drives him to it, is the fact that
I could also see with the thing we talked about with the mass expansion stuff and Guts, like, or Griffith's army, like, they targeted Flora specifically and stuff. They might bring the war to Elfhelm, and then it has to happen, you know? Like, has to happen. So if Griffith forces the issue with, like, oh, yeah, we got to take care of this, you know, crazy magic cult or whatever, however you characterize it, then it's like, all right, well, like, then I'd be all on board with them defending that, because that's worth defending, you know?
Sure.
Like, that would cast Griffith in a villainous light for those people. And then, it's weird. It's almost like, is Midland just kind of a bunch of sheep people or whatever, you know? Like, they're just kind of, they're not seeing their leader for who he is or whatever. Like, is it supposed to be kind of, you know, the Fuhrer, he's great. And you're like, yeah, but come on, you know?
I was going to say, isn't that arguably how, like, all societies
all
kind of are
work or sure any government of just like the glorious leader, you know, like very Kim Jong or something. But you know,
something
Falconia
like that.
Has prosperity, I guess, but they're also very war focused.
It might have dissidents, we just haven't seen it because we're looking at through the eyes of the
we're not people. Even really down on the streets. Casca does have a moment where she's like, I wonder what happened to those girls that helped me out, you know? So there was at least a shot of, like, was it Nadine or whatever? what's her name?
Yeah, I can't remember. Something like that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Classic character, you know? So their fates have at least been teed up as being like, maybe they're in Midland and something. I thought we caught up with some of them again in, like, a couple volumes ago, you know?
Yes, they are in Falconia hanging out.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
They're
running that inn or whatever.
Oh yeah. What a fun spinoff that would be. You know?
It would be kind of fun.
Just hanging out in Midland, you know, just looking after the place. Before, the war.
Before it all ends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what's in store. It really doesn't seem like it could just drop it there. That would be weird. You know. And, you know, just stay in Wonderland or whatever. That's not how it goes.
Does it not feel to you like we should be past it, though? Like, maybe I'm seeing this as a person who's seen both sides happen at the same time.
Yeah.
But, like, isn't it kind of just like, what happened, and it sucks, but you know what? Like, you both have way more important shit to worry about right now.
I don't really have a shape of what Griffith's, like, you know. Is he planning to depose the God Hand, or is anyone concerned about the other members of the God Hand? Because they seem like bad news too. You know,
would that be shitty? if Griffith was like, Guts, you and I need to team up together to take down the God Hand. It's like, what the fuck is even going on right
that
now?
That would be nonsense, right? That would be crazy.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, we'll replace the God Hand with our things. And it's like, no, what? Like
that ambition makes more sense for Griffith.
I know. Like, yeah. If like, is it like, is he trying to set it? Like, are his cronies supposed to be successors? Like, is he trying to groom up Zod and like Bow Guy and everything to be God Hands? Or is it like, no, like they just seem apart from everything. Like they're above and beyond all. And we just haven't seen them in a long time. Like that flashback was like, oh yeah, right. The God Hand, you know, not since that weird cave with that lady and all the corpses. Like, I don't remember seeing any firsthand God Hand encounters, you know? And that just seems like the biggest stuff on the table. Like, if this was a Dark Souls game, it'd be like, oh yeah, those are the five kings. You got to take care of those. And like, Griffith will be the last one. But like, that's the second half of the game, like, thing you need to take care of, you know?
Well, that's your, the DLC.
Your
Grave
Lord Nidos and whatever. You got to go take care of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What is the worst possible outcome? I'll start. Casca falls in love with Griffith again, and they run off together, and Guts is just like crying
just one
forever.
Look, you know, one look from Griffith, and she's gone again. Like, just, you know.
I'd be so mad.
Yeah,
holy
that,
shit.
That can't happen.
I would go berserk.
I guess the thing I'm most worried about is like just rapid fire cram sesh stuff, you know, to get it done. Like just like a boss rush, you know. In like, oh, there's only two volumes left or something, and then like one of them is just all fights or whatever. It'd be like, oh yeah.
Then,
you know,
the next volume has 9 chapters in it, which is a little beefy.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, maybe that's good or whatever. It's also ending an arc. So the next volume apparently is the final volume in the Elf Island chapter, for whatever that means.
So whatever,
because
something will either force them to leave or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So something is definitely going to happen in the next volume, because then the volume 43, which have started the like single releases in Japan or whatever, has started. But like,
and
obviously,
all of this was
we're not
what,
be
like,
caught up.
Relayed by Mira to his friend or something? Like, this is...
It sounds like
notes.
The whole major plot points were relayed, so I'm guessing there's probably going to be some artistic license on how they get there.
How you put those pieces together or get from A to B on some stuff, yeah.
But it also kind of sounded like Mira had, like, a giant manuscript or manifesto of, like, how he wanted things to go. Drawn up, which makes sense. If you're gonna do something that spans your whole lifetime, you're probably gonna do up like a brainstorm
story
board
Bible
or something
kind of thing, like a,
yeah.
I guess I'm just kind of anxious or nervous that
me too
are gonna unspool. Like, you know, I really like that Millennium trilogy of books, like the, you know, Lisbeth Salander stuff. But there's a hard break after Stieg Larsson dies where it's like other people inherit it. And it was just like, oh, this is all wrong. Like, this doesn't sound right anymore. So
I'm worried
that's
about
what
that
I'm
too.
Worried about is it just somehow loses the flavor or something. Or I'll just be second guessing myself. Just like, would he have done it that way? You know, would he have staged this way or said that bluntly or whatever?
Yeah.
But I mean, there's things bigger than manga, I guess, and, you know, his passing.
Well,
yeah.
It's arguable.
I mean, it is a life's work kind of thing, so it, yeah, rough.
So going forward, maybe we should do a little meta talk about how this podcast is going to go now, because is kind of the end, really,
right,
of, like, what we know.
I'm pretty straightforward, just, like, transition right into From Software games. You know, we're just going to talk about those. No, I'm just bugging you. There's a bunch of ancillary media that we were thinking about, right?
Well, I'm thinking we should talk about Chapter 42 at some point, because it's out. Like,
that's
it's
the
a
main
thing.
Yeah.
But from there, 43, they are releasing a chapter, and like, it's getting fan translated every like 3 months or whenever they come out.
Yeah.
So we could theoretically just like keep
do
up with them as they come out
or something. Yeah, that would be weird.
But, like, I think the transition is just, like, I guess going berserk dies, right? Like, it's done. what else is there to
talk about?
I thought
you were
going to
say we should watch the anime, you know? And then I can finally hear that song in context of how it was written, you know?
Which the one? Guts' theme?
The Guts theme. There's some great dumb meme-y videos of that thing, and I've grown quite fond of it, but I have no context. But I can, like, hear why it's perfect for Guts' manly suffering or whatever. Just like,
have you never seen the original manga or anime?
No. So I've just gotten this clip in, like, you know, a Quantum Leap video that someone made and stuff.
No, you're right. When we're done talking about the manga, let's do the anime. Not, like, episode by episode, just, like, maybe one episode.
And if we're all caught up, we can finally play that somewhat newish video game from, like, 5-6 years ago.
The Musou game. And there's that Dreamcast game and the PlayStation 2 game. There's like you said, ancillary media that we can go through.
And we can just, you know, is this faithful? Is this capturing? Was it great, you know, slashing up dudes, fighting 100 dudes as the dude that did that, you know? I'm assuming happens.
But the episodes will be, like, further apart because it takes more time to go through some of that stuff than it is to read.
Yeah, if we lock in on the show, I guess that would be pretty easy, you know, watch an episode, talk about it. But
would you want to do, like, an episode and then a podcast, or just a podcast about every single? Or, like,
I guess we'll see how dense and quality that is. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I can tell you. It only goes up to the eclipse, and they skip a shitload of stuff. It's...
Okay, huh.
Yeah, the whole, like, Black Swordsman, you know, the first three volumes is, like, the first half of the first episode.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, no, they motor through. That's why I'm saying we could just talk about that anime as a single entity.
Maybe, yeah, we'll see how it shakes out, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if people want to ask us questions and stuff, there's an email for that.
If people want to write in with suggestions... what do you Berserk want related
Yeah. Or should we start a Death Note podcast? I'm joking.
I mean, I've
enjoyed
been,
Death
Note,
but yeah.
There have been other things I was we should talk off air about that at some point.
Yeah.
But I have gonebeserk@gmail.com write in with stuff like that. How was your journey so far with Berserk? Write in. Did you read along with us? Did you just listen? I know some people just listen to us talk about it without ever reading it, which is a little insane to me, but also I think we hit on every important point that I could see that would probably be fine.
I hope so. Yeah. Wow, that's like a weird responsibility then, like paraphrasing it well. But whatever. Oh, there's this great manga out there you might want to check out. But I guess it's not done yet, so maybe it ends real bad. We'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Great journey, though, thus far. You know, some pretty great stuff.
So far, so good.
But man, that web of characters just keeps expanding, you know?
It's
like, even
much.
In this volume, like, be like, hey, there's this Volvalba character. It's like, oh, my God, that's great. But I don't know what we're going to get with that, you know? Like, we just got introduced to Morda and all these students and whatever. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's been fun, though. So
it's been good. Yeah. I can't wait to see. Anxious. Anxious is the right word. I'm anxious to see what the non-Mira stuff looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, fingers crossed, I guess. Hopefully the people in charge of that are being mindful. But we will see. But yeah, so I guess that's it for this week's episode.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done. So, thanks hanging out on the ship or whatever, Berserk.
No, never mind. I was going to allude back to Kissinger and be like, oh, if you want to email any Kissinger facts, you know, just bring it back. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
That's fine. We're
just send
coming
those
up
to
really
me.
We're coming up real close on just not having any more Berserk stuff to talk about, so... This is now the Kissinger podcast, I suppose.
Yeah,
seems,
you know,
like the
we're
good jumping
finding
off
a new
point.
Direction for it, so yeah. But until then, I'm Nathan.
And I'm Paul.
Thanks
Keep
for
on berserking, baby.
Berserking, yeah.